wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Happy Monday morning to you, 908 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Thank you for tuning in. I actually have a guest scheduled, and he has not called yet, so we'll matriculate. Is that a word? I think it is. We'll matriculate until we hear from him. I got some other stuff planned for you as well during the program, so did want to go over a couple of the headlines in news this morning. If you'll remember last week, there's a little boy was hit by a golf cart. He was riding a scooter. The golf cart was driven. He was nine, and I say was because he's passed away. It's very sad. It really is. The golf cart was driven by a 12-year-old girl. This happened, I want to say, Tuesday last week, maybe Tuesday, Wednesday, somewhere in there, maybe Monday. I don't know. Anyway, the little boy was life-flighted to Vegas. That's how serious his injuries were. And in fact, they were so serious he didn't make it. He passed away. They have set up a GoFundMe page. His name was Stephen Yu. Y-U is his last name. But the thing that the whole thing is still up in the air is, first of all, they don't believe that the golf cart driver, even though she was just a 12-year-old girl, was at fault. But it kind of begs a question. First of all, it's worth mentioning, 12-year-olds are not allowed to drive golf carts on public streets. That is against the law. I talked with the police department, Tiffany Mitchell, over the police department, and she said, yeah, you have to be at least 16. You don't have to have a license, but you have to be at least 16, and you can only drive on streets that are 25 or maybe 35 miles per hour or lower. But anyway, bottom line is she was not supposed to be driving on a city street. And everybody says, well, but it wasn't her fault. Well, it wasn't, but and I'm just speculating here. I don't know the circumstances, but would a more experienced driver in approaching an intersection maybe have slowed down a little bit? Someone who had a driver's license or somebody who maybe, I don't know. I want to think, you know, young girl probably could see pretty far and could tell. But, you know, if you're experienced and you maybe approach that intersection, if you're, you know, an experienced driver, maybe you slow it down a little bit. Anyway, the whole deal is just a sad deal. And they have set up a GoFundMe page for Stephen Yu. They just go to GoFundMe and search on Yu Family, Y-U. Sadly, there have been some criminal elements out there. I haven't seen a fake page for this one yet, but I know last time we did, they were doing a fundraiser for someone who passed away. I think it was the little kids that were killed down by Moapa Valley a few days ago. There was almost immediately a fake GoFundMe page. And that kind of thing just, I guess people have been preying on victims and the poor and the people who, not poor, but the people poor in heart, people who are brokenhearted, since the beginning of time. You know, there used to be professional criers back in Jesus' time, and you know, they would pay people to wail and weep and moan at people's deaths, and you know, that it, I guess to avoid embarrassment or avoid the public display of emotion. I don't know, but so people have been preying on people who are brokenhearted for a long, long time. But this one, again, is a sad one. 9-year-old boy killed. The subdivision, by the way, is over by the Lynn's off of Mall Drive. You know, as you approach Lynn's coming from St. George, you could, off to the right there, there's a whole bunch of new homes and apartments and things. And that's where the accident happened. And, yeah, hopefully the family can be healed quickly from the pain that they are feeling. There was a hiker that fell in Zion National Park over the weekend, had to be airlifted out. Now, I was talking with my wife about this yesterday, and she said, well, can you do an update on his condition? Because it happened over the weekend. So, and I said, well, here's the thing. Unless, I know this sounds kind of heartless and sad, but unless they die, we really can't give you an update on conditions because of HIPAA laws nowadays. You call the hospital and say, hey, I need an update on the person that got in the accident. The hospital says, well, we can't give you anything because of HIPAA laws. They haven't released that And it makes being a news person much more difficult now. And again, it's sad to say, but the only way we'll get an update is if the person dies, and then it becomes public. If it's a public accident, it becomes public. No, it's very, very screwy. It's kind of like that rule they made a few years ago with the arrest reports. You ever gone to Washington County Sheriff's website and looked at arrest reports? Yeah, they've taken the pictures away. And I guess the reason, I don't know, somebody sued or something, but I guess the reason is that, people have been arrested, but they haven't been convicted on that website. And so you're like, well, you know, if someone gets arrested for a DUI, but they weren't really drunk, but their picture's up, everyone thinks they were anyway, even if they weren't. And so they've taken the pictures away, which has created this weird little situation where people with common names often get mistaken for other people who have the same name who didn't get arrested and who did. And for instance, I have a daughter by the name of Katie Griffin. And recently on the arrest reports, there was a Katie Griffin arrested. And everybody's like, oh, sorry about your daughter. I'm like, what are you talking about? They said, oh, yeah, she got arrested. I said, no, my daughter lives in Provo now. She's going to college. And the arrest report, well, there's no way to differentiate. Sometimes I'll put an address, but oftentimes not. There's no way to differentiate between, you know, the Katie Griffin that got arrested and my Katie Griffin. And everybody's like, oh, Andy's kid got arrested. I mean, yeah, okay, I guess it could happen. Fortunately, I never had any of my kids arrested. But still, everybody thinks I did because the arrest reports have taken away the pictures. No way to tell. 9:15 on KDXU. I believe Bill Ogden is with us on the phone now. Bill, are you there?
I am here, sir. Sorry for the delay.
No problem. You must sound like you're on the road. Are you on the road?
Yep. We just came down off the plateau through the Sandy Ridge Summit and Pass back to where there's signal.
Nice. Well, I'm glad we've got you. And the topic today, I've been trying to do a little research on this, but maybe you can explain the topic today, what we're talking about and who you represent. The topic is tactical civics, something I had never heard of until about 3 weeks ago.
Okay. Tactical civics is a set of solutions for the problems we currently face. Okay. Most of the things that are going wrong are because we failed to enforce the Constitution. Citizens in a free republic have a duty to participate in the institutions that provide enforcement and oversight on the Constitution. So there's a thumbnail for you.
Okay. So, I mean, so far, I'm sitting here, I'm going, hey, this sounds actually like a really good idea. I believe in the Constitution. I'm a Christian. I believe the country was founded by Christians who want to do what's right. So what you're saying sounds really good, but then I think, well, it sounds really hard, though, to enforce that, to get back to basics again. What's the plan there, Bill?
Well, the first step is you recognize it says we the people, not we the president, not we the somebody else.
Yeah.
By virtue of defeating the British in the Revolutionary War, the matter of government fell upon the shoulders of we the people. And as we got busy, we decided to hire some folks to do some of the parts of our living on our behalf, essentially mutual defense and commerce. If you think through the Constitution, most of it has to do with organizing between and among the various states and foreign countries. We wanted those things done. It's a limited document, but we are still in charge of it. And so I like to say we hire people to do our governmenting.
Yeah, we do.
We hire the executive branch. We hire the legislative branch. They are our employees, and the contract related to their employment is called the Constitution. As soon as you get that through your head, it starts to line up. Okay, so there's two steps. One is hiring good people. That's the electoral process.
Right.
The other is supervising the people you hired. If you hired a group of people to come in and do your lawn and run a trimmer around the sidewalk and so on, do you just pay them or do you go out?
Well,
you hired a contractor to put a deck on your house. you just cut a check because they said so, or you go out and make sure it's the way you want it?
Yeah, you know, recently we just hired to do someone to do some things in our house. They did a terrible job, and we called them back. So you come back and fix this. And of course, they want to charge us more money. That's the way it goes. But I know exactly what you're saying.
Why not do that with people we hired in government?
Yeah,
inspect and review their work. We did hire them to do a job.
So what if they're not doing the job? Then what's the next step?
Well, they swore an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution.
Okay.
And they all swore an oath. And so here's how constitutional enforcement works in four easy steps, starting with number two. Number two is that we, by ordinance at the county level, reauthorize the county grand jury. County grand jury has the ability to investigate, you can call it the investigating jury, to look at any issue they want to look at. There does not have to be criminality or alleged criminality for the grand jury to function. They can act as a proctor. Do you remember in school the teacher walked by your desk to make sure you weren't cheating?
Yeah.
You weren't cheating, but they still walked by your desk. Why cannot the citizens in the form of the grand jury take a look at the books? Go to the website. Do whatever to make sure the government they're paying for is doing the job they paid them to do. The second ordinance is a militia ordinance. And before anybody clutches their pearls,
yeah,
this isn't the Montana 3% made famous on Yellowstone to kill John and Beth Dutton. This is the law enforcement arm of the grand jury. In most states, the sheriff hires all the deputies.
Right.
If the sheriff's the one who's committing the crime, who's going to arrest him? The deputies he hired?
Probably not.
No. That would be the militia. So the militia can serve subpoenas and search warrants and so on and so forth. They work together. It is the only law enforcement stipulated in the Constitution, by the way. You can find the word militia sprinkled around there. Number three. We want to ratify an amendment in 27 more states, it's pending, that limits the congressional district to 50,000 souls. Currently, your congressman represents probably 750,000. That's why it's hard to talk to him.
Okay.
With 50,000, that's a manageable number. The fourth thing is when we populate the new Congress with all these new congressmen, because 50,000 will make 16 for every one we have now. We want them to pass the Bring Congress Home Act so they can live and work among the people they work for.
Okay.
No more townhouse in Alexandria, no more lobbyist parties and so on. You'll see them jogging down the street like we do our state representatives up here. They'll be available to the people. They can work from the county office by Zoom call like they did when everybody had the flu. If you need to testify, you don't have to fly to Washington. Just go to your local congressional office, use the other computer.
Yeah.
Those four steps circumscribe Congress, break the back of fascism. They'll have to deal with Mrs. Johnson at the grocery store, just like you do. She can walk up and say, "Hey, Congressman, how come you guys are in such a..." Because he's present, or she's present. And suddenly we have reasserted control over our governance.
So tactical civics is about giving more power to the people, but we've given it up so much, it seems like that's almost impossible to do, Bill.
With the absentee owners, that's all.
What's that?
There's a lovely parable in Scripture that starts with, "And then the master returned."
Ah, the master returned.
Where I live, my wife and I live on the family farm. My great-great-great-great-grandfather served in the Revolutionary War. For his service, he received a tract of land that we still live on. I call it the family business. I didn't start the family business, but I'm the guy that runs it. I have stewardship over the land, as it were. I have those responsibilities. So, too, with the country that I inherited from my forefathers. They drew up the contract, we operate by the Constitution. It's my job to know what it says and enforce it. That's all. And, of course, explain it to my children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Because how would it is?
I think we lost him. Yeah, I think we lost Bill. So we're talking a little bit about Tactical Civics, and they have a website, tacticalcivics.com, by the way, if you want to go there. And they have a little video explaining what it is. In theory, Tactical Civics is as solid as it comes, folks. Tactical Civics, it's exactly what we're all talking about. There needs to be more accountability to from politicians to the everyday man. We need to turn our hearts to God. Remember, our country was formed not by religionists, but by Christians, by people who believed. And you know, we've gotten to the point where we're so big now in our country that other religions are here, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It's part of freedom, right? But we need to turn back to, you know, use repent to get back to where we need to be. The problem I have, and I've you know, talked to some people about this, is like, you know, it seems like it's an impossible task to do, to try to change the way things are. And it has to start at the grassroots. And I think that's what Tactical Civics is trying to do. They're trying to get, you know, right now I think there's 5,000 members nationwide. There's a long way to go, and I'm not saying I'm joining the group or anything like that. I'm saying I like where they're headed. Some of the things I'm a little bit worried about. They're talking about a militia to represent grand juries in each county, and you know, I'm not learned enough to know the details on all that stuff. But I will say this: I believe that Tactical Civics, I think their doctrine is in the right place. We need to turn back to the Constitution. I just feel like, man, we've gotten so far off the trail. We're now out in the weeds and the grass, and I don't know if we can get back on trail. I don't know if we can. That's going to be hard. All right, I got to get a commercial break in. We're talking Tactical Civics a little bit. We've also talking about some of the headlines in the news today. There's even a story. I should not laugh. Someone was shot by a gun up in Salt Lake City today, yesterday. But how they got shot, I'm not going to lie. It's kind of funny, and don't be mad at me. But it's kind of funny. Right now, we got to check weather.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
I tell you, I feel a little bit here like the man who was the farmer that was driving his horse and wagon to town for a load of grain and had a head-on collision with an automobile. He was lying there seriously injured, even some of them with permanent disabilities, and later followed the usual legal procedures with the insurance company and all, and he was on the stand, and a lawyer said to him, while you were lying there at the scene of the accident, didn't someone come up to you and ask you how you were feeling, and didn't you answer that you never felt better in your life? Well, he said, I was lying there, and he said a car came up, and a deputy sheriff got out. He said, my horse was neighing with pain and kicking, he had two broken legs. The deputy sheriff put the gun in his ear and put the horse out of his misery. He said, my dog had a broken back and was whining with pain, and he went over, did the same thing, put there and shot him. And then he came over to me and said, now, how are you feeling?
Love Ron Reagan. I would probably answer the same. I'm feeling great. Thanks anyway. Welcome back to the Andy Griffin Show. I didn't get to play any song here. Let's try some Andy Griffin theme song. Yeah. All right, we'll turn it down. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Andy Griffin. Thanks for tuning in to the program today. Good story. One's on Intellectual Takeout. The other one is on LouRockwell.com. About the digital revolution, and one is written by a guy by the name of Jeff Minnick, and Jeff Minnick's a pretty talented writer, and Minnick wrote about the Sound of Silence. Now, he's a guy that doesn't fly very often. He said if there were ever an infrequent flyers program, like a frequent flyers program, he said, I would probably be a member in good standing because I've flown exactly 3 times in the last 30 years. Actually, a fourth one was last week. He said, and he could not believe it. Listen to this paragraph. He said, now, having just flown from Dulles Airport to Kansas City, my return trip took me through Chicago O'Hare, I can report that I was a bit stunned by the sound that I heard on all three aircraft. It was the sound of silence. Yeah, he said he talked with a lady on before takeoff on one of the things, and he talked with someone upon landing. He said, but other than that, he said, I could not believe how quiet these airplanes were. He said everyone was either A, 100% invested in their phone so that all their attention was on a little electronic device in front of them. Or if you're on an airplane, if you've been on an airplane in the last few years, you know, they have the little screens in front of you and you can play a game, you can watch a movie, you can watch a TV show, you can watch the flight of the airplane, whatever it is. He said everyone on the plane was quiet. He said it was really weird. He said the only comparison he could make to it was maybe church. He said, in church, you know, the silence is reverential and can be profound, but the silence aboard the airplanes was, he used the word eerie. It was strange. He said that everyone seemed eager to turn on the screens on their seats. Each watched a different show, and the conversations completely died. He said it was very, very bizarre. He said he remembered. He said last time he flew was, I think he said 2015. So he hadn't flown in 10 years. And he said last time he flew, everyone was talking, and it was like almost a party atmosphere on the airplane. And he said now you get up there at 35,000 feet, and it is quiet. He said there were a couple people sleeping. They probably appreciated the silence, but for him, it was very bizarre. And then he made this statement, and this is something that we've been talking about a lot on the show lately. He said, quote, clearly the passengers on these three aircraft prefer the company of their screens to the company of the person seated next to them. Clear as well as the evidence that such isolation is bad for society and for us as individuals. Silence, it seems, isn't always golden after all. I've thought about that a lot recently. We have family gatherings, family parties, maybe just hanging out with family members, maybe just my wife. And inevitably, somebody pulls a phone out. And inevitably, somebody starts tapping into their phone. And you go, okay, at what point do... And honestly, most of the time, when it comes to interpersonal relations with my wife or my kids or friends that are over or whatever, most of the time, if they do start tapping on their phone, you know, when you're kind of engaged in a group family setting with them, it's something important. Oh, I just got to hurry and respond to this or that or the other thing. Most of the time. And so you can almost, not quite, but almost go, it's okay. Especially if it's a very brief interaction and they give you their attention back in a moment. But there is, even in those situations where it's like, okay, this might be important and they got to take care of it, there is this feeling that, and I get this feeling, and it hurts inside, right? There is this feeling that whatever is going on inside that phone, whether it's a text from a kid or it's a text from a friend or whatever, is more important than I am. It's more important for you to be engaged with them than with me. And I think about that, and I think that's kind of sad. Like, what's wrong with me? What do I not offer that whoever you're getting the text from or the message or whatever, what do I not offer that they do? And before I go on anymore, I will say I am guilty too. I have done this too. So I'm not pointing the finger at anyone else without those three fingers pointing back at me, right? You put your finger out, you point, those three fingers. Yeah. But I think we need to do better. I don't know if it's set some parameters, if it's, you know, it used to be in my family, and this was, you know, when my kids were younger, when cell phones were somewhat new, smartphones, we had a rule, no phones at the table. You did not take your phone to the table. If you did have your phone, say, in your pocket or something, and it buzzed or went off or whatever, you did not answer. If it was dinner time, you were, you know, 30, 40, an hour, whatever, 30, 40 minutes, an hour, whatever. That was our time. That was family time. And the phones, I don't care who was on it. I don't care if, you know, the garage was on fire and somebody texted you about it. Okay, maybe that one. That might be excusable. But generally speaking, no phones at the tables. That was a rule. No phones at the tables. Do we break it now? Yeah. I mean, we're empty nesters now. My wife and I go to the table, and guess what? The phones are right there. Because what if someone texts us and it's important? You know? Like I said, I'm as guilty as anybody. And so I'm still searching for the answers, searching for what do we do about it? Is it okay? Is it kind of okay? Like, can we go, okay, if I set a few parameters, like, okay, no phones at the table unless one of the kids or grandkids is involved. That's a tough one. Okay. If it's during the day, I mean, we have job duties, right? And not even during the day. I've gotten texts from my bosses or a coworker at 7 or 8 o'clock at night, sometimes later. And I feel like this must be pretty important. Why else would someone from work be texting me at 8 o'clock at night? And so then you make that rule and you make that exception and you go, okay, well, this is a work thing. I better take care of it. And then guess what? It just invaded my life. And then you start, okay, well, maybe it's a quality of life thing. Maybe it's, everybody says, well, your work couldn't have got a hold of you at 8 or 9 o'clock at night before smartphones. Well, we had regular landlines, but honestly, if they just needed something that wasn't urgent, you might send a text at 8 o'clock at night, but you probably wouldn't have called their landline unless it was urgent. So then you go, okay, well, how important is this text? If my boss said, hey, don't forget blank tomorrow, whatever the blank is, don't forget on the air tomorrow, you've got to talk about this. Is that something that a sticky note on my door would have helped or I don't know, an email, maybe? I guess what I'm doing, I'm searching for the answer. There have been so many studies done. I'll bet right now I could find 10 studies done about how smartphones for children are hurting they're hurting their mental state. Their smartphones for and social media for young people is brutal. It's killing them. It's easy to say that, and it's true. And everybody's like, okay, yeah, let's fix this. And don't let your kids have a phone until they're 16, or don't let them, whatever. Okay, we've identified a problem, but not the only problem. How about smartphones for grownups? How are we doing there? Not so good. I've told the story many times now on the air, probably 3 or 4 times on the air. We went to a hotel, stayed at a hotel. We went to the swimming late in the evening, 9:15 or something. Pool closed at 10. Thought, well, I mean, one of the reasons, we're old and we're like, yeah, we don't really want a lot of kids running around. We got to the pool the same time as a mom and 3 kids were there. We're just getting there. And they went into the pool area. She let the kids say, all right, go have fun. She went and sat. She wasn't in the swimsuit. She was wearing shorts. She went and sat and dangled her feet in the hot tub while her kids, for the next 45 minutes, probably an hour, actually. It was probably after closing time. But while her kids played and jumped and ran around. And you know, we're talking like, I think they were like maybe, they looked like 6, 8, and 10 maybe. So I guess she was kind of keeping an eye on them, sort of. But I cannot tell you how many times one of the kids came up to mom and said, hey, mom, watch me do this. Or, hey, mom, look at this. Or, hey, mom, can I do this? Or, hey, mom, this. There was probably 20 times. And guess what she did on every single one of those times? She ignored them. She didn't even hardly look up from her phone. She was involved in some sort of conversation or reading a book or whatever she was doing with her smartphone. I don't know what it was. I didn't get behind her and look. But she 100% ignored those children. In fact, short of drowning, maybe had one of them started drowning, she might have pulled herself out of that whatever world she was in. But short of that, I don't know that she would have. And I know that she didn't on that night. And the only thing that shook her out of her stupor was someone from the hotel came over and said, hey, we're closing the pool now. And you need to get everybody out. And my wife and I had been sitting in the hot tub, and we got up and left. And I said to my wife, I said, that might be one of the saddest hours I've ever seen in my life, where three little kids wanting nothing more than mom to look at them, to validate them, to acknowledge them. And she just flat out ignored them. And everybody says, well, cell phones are harmful to kids. They are. They are very harmful to kids. But what are they doing to us grown-ups? Every time you look at your phone at dinner, every time you look at your phone when you're sitting next to your sweetheart or your friend or your sibling or your parent, and you look at that phone and you start tapping away, and to me, it's basically saying, yeah, I value you, but I value this, whatever it is, more. And I hope that I can do better. Like I said, I don't know. Everybody said, well, take the phones away. Well, that's not the answer. You can't take the phones away. They're not going away. But maybe if we set some parameters, maybe we go back to the no phones at the dinner table. That's a start, right? I'd be willing to leave mine in my pocket at the very least. But once it buzzes and you feel compelled, and I know this feeling because I see it and I feel it, you feel, I got to look and see who it is. They've got you.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. Thanks for being here, 949 on KDXU. A whole bunch of little calendar items of business to talk about. So TuaCon right now has got Little Mermaid going, and this week Wizard of Oz begins. You're like, wait a minute, Wizard of Oz, that's one of the classic old movies. How can they do it? Well, I got to tell you, TuaCon finds a way to do it upright. So later this week, I have tickets for Friday night's show and Saturday night's show of Wizard of Oz at TuaCon. I'm not giving away right now, but listen during the week this week, and we will give tickets away to Wizard of Oz. I also have tickets next week to the Legend Tour. I think I'm actually going to look at the actual. It is the 2025 Legends Championship at Copper Rock. This is Women's Golf Legends. That is, I'll be giving some of those away as well. We were talking a little bit about cell phones and parameters and where we should allow. Oh, you know what? I'm going to get to that text in a minute. I forgot a couple of other things. Baseball tournament is this week at Bruce Hurst Field. So it's right here in town. In fact, I will be doing three games today with my buddy Andy Thompson, and a pair of Andys will be in the booth there. The first game is actually an hour and 10 minutes from right now. It's Snow Canyon and Bear River. So as soon as I get off the air, I got a couple of things I got to do here, and then I'm going to head over to the field. That's 11 a.m. Snow Canyon versus Bear River, 1:30 Dixie versus Ridgeline, and 4:30 Desert Hills and Crimson Cliffs. Two Southern Utah schools go at it. A triple header on ESPN Radio. So if you want to hear me, go over to 97.7 FM, and we'll have baseball for you all day long and into the night. Should be. I'm going to have a lot of fun. Hopefully you will too. Hopefully our local boys will all do well. Although that last game, Desert Hills Crimson, Desert Hills technically in St. George, Crimson technically in Washington City. It's kind of ironic, actually. So Crimson Cliffs is in Washington City, but gets most of its students from St. George City. Pineview is in St. George City, but gets most of its students from Washington City. Just the way the weird way the boundaries are and stuff. But anyway, that's today. tonight is Concert in the Park, so you could technically go to two or three ball games and then get over at 7:30 and watch Metropolitan Man, I think is the name of the band playing. It's kind of a blues with classic rock mixed in. It's free, too, tonight. Concert in the Park at Vernon Worthen Park. Later this week, I'm going to turn the page now to the other page. Later this week is something called the Hangar Dance. Now, they're having Armed Forces celebration, Armed Forces Appreciation or Celebration this week, Friday and Saturday at the Western Sky Aviation Warbird Museum. And I think for $8, you can get in and you can get tours of planes on the ground. Now, if you want to go up in the air, they do have a plane going up in the air. It's a vintage, I think it's a World War II or maybe Vietnam era plane. But that does cost more money. So keep that in mind. And then Saturday night is the Hangar Dance. It's a 1940 style hangar dance with a live swing band. I've been to this several times. It's the St. George Jazz Band performing. I've been there several times. This is really cool. Now, doors open at 6 o'clock. The main dancing event starts at 7, but they do give dance lessons at 6:15. So if you want to learn how to dance 40 style, it'll be there for you. Now, prices are $20 for a couple if you order in advance, or $25 at the door if you pay when you get there. You can also get a table of 8 for $250, and it's kind of cool. The Hangar Dance at the Western Sky Aviation Warbird Museum on Saturday night. We'll talk about that a little bit more later in the week, but I think this is really cool, and I've been to it a couple times. I may have some complications with baseball that day, so I might not get to go this year. It depends on who wins. That's the thing. Everybody's like, so what's your schedule for baseball this week? Well, it depends. If teams win, teams lose, teams get out, teams keep going. I can tell you this, Region 9 team has won the state championship like something like 10 years in a row, somebody from Region 9. So it will be a Southern Utah team playing deep into the week, probably Friday and Saturday. So at least one of them, Dixie, Snow Canyon, Crimson Cliffs, Desert Hills, one of them is going to be there at the end. Maybe two of them there at the end. All right, let's go to the text. We're running short on time. Jan texted and said, my opinion, a text is never urgent. A phone call maybe, but no phone on the table, even a few feet away, but not at the table. I like that. Don't turn on text notification. Check your phone every couple of hours, unless you're at work. In which case, the caller's opinion is life-changing. She put a little smiley face there. She knows it's funny. So we were talking again about cell phones and parameter. How do we decide how important a cell phone is? I like the idea of maybe turning notifications off, but are we strong enough to do that? So you get texts all day and all night, and sometimes they're important. Most of the time, they're just, hey, how you doing? Or, boy, how would this turn out? Or whatever. Are we strong enough to go, okay, I can turn email notifications off. Can I turn text notifications off? Can I do that? I don't know if I can. I should. We all should, but I don't know. That's a tough one. I like the idea of it. Am I strong enough? Can I do it? I don't know. I don't know if I can or not. There's a story, an interesting story written by Llewellyn Rockwell. This is LouRockwell.com. The war against religious freedom. And it brings up the point of kind of the left hates religion. I know if you're got a friend who's a liberal, who's religious. But let's be honest. The left and religion kind of clash. They want, you know, trans rights, and they want this, that, and the other thing, and they don't care about religion and church, and they don't even want the church to be exempt from taxes and things like that. They want to take that all the way because of religion. They don't believe that being transsexual and being a Christian are any different. It's just something you decide. That's their belief. So there's a movement right now. In fact, there's a bill on in Washington, D.C., that will require bishops in Mormon churches, priests in Catholic churches at a confessional to disclose if something that breaks the law is told to them. For instance, if there's child molestation, if there's if you confess to killing somebody or, you know, maybe stealing a car, whatever. There's a bill on the books right now. They're trying to get through the legislature that would make it so your priest or your bishop would have to tell the law about this. Now, I'm not at this point going, that's a bad law. But I'm curious what you think about this. Is that, I mean, clearly what it will do is the shading. I call it the shading process. It'll make it so people who might have confessed of something, they won't tell their bishop anymore. They'll find someone else to tell, or they won't tell anyone. So there'll be the shading effect. But is this okay? If you tell the bishop, yeah, when I was 22, I actually accidentally ran over this old person, and I think they died, but I'm not sure. But don't tell anybody, okay? Because this is confession, and I feel remorse. Is it okay if the bishop doesn't tell the authorities that you killed somebody? Something to think about. Child molestation. I have no tolerance, no pity for someone who does something harmful to a child. At the same time, should my bishop have to call the authorities every time somebody says? I feel like they should. There was a situation where I was an ecclesiastical leader years and years and years ago. I would say, well, a long time ago. And they asked me, a mom came to me and said, hey, my kid tells me that this person did this to them. What do I do? And I said, well, bust them. Turn it in. Get them. And she said, well, it's going to end up being my kid and my kid's word against this person who is a religious authority. What do I do? I said, bust them. He said, well, but it could be really painful and hard on the kid, and it might ruin the person's life, you know, but I said, do you believe your child? She said, absolutely, 100%. I've never had a reason not to believe my child in situations like this. And I said, well, bust him. Get him out of there. I have no tolerance for that. And things happen, and they did bust him, and I'm glad they did, but, you know, by the same token, you know, religion, it's a tough deal. And if someone is truly confessing and trying to change, then I don't know what the answer is. At what point, though, do you go, that's not good enough, you need to go to jail? All right, out of time. Thanks for listening today. Thanks to Bill for coming on for a little while, even though our connection was kind of bad. I hope you got the gist of Tactical Civics. Look it up online, tacticalcivics.com. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow. I think Steve's going to be with me. That'll be fun.